All right. I hope you can hear me now, because I'm all at the top of my limits. My limit is really loud, and I'm there. So I'm hoping that you can hear me better. All right. So you had a long weekend, lots of time to relax, hang out with the family. Do things that you didn't want to stop to do before, but had the time, and therefore you did them. You took your time, and you had a great weekend. One supposes that you did. But now it's back to work. And back to work we shall go, because that's the way it works. You get a little time off. And then you get slammed with the difficult work. So let's talk about it. I'm going to ask a couple of questions, but only after you call. You won't know what the question is until I ask you. But I am certain, positive, reassured that you will know the answer, or at least much of the answer. So we will hear what your answer is to all of these questions that I have lined up for you. Be brave, take a chance, see how you do, okay? 888-874-4888 gets us started, and we'll see how you're doing. 888-874-4888. Eight. I don't see any questions yet on the board. What, you fell asleep over the weekend and you're still sleeping? No, you can't do that. That's not allowed. That's not part of the measure that we're working with today. You've got to have your constitution reconstituted so you're ready to go. 888-874-4888. If you're ready to answer a question that I will pose to you, you haven't been asked this question before. I can guarantee you that. But I'd like to know what your answer is and sharing it with others to see what their reaction is when you give the answer. All right, once again, 888-874-4888. Anybody home? I don't see anybody's name yet. How come you get so shy? This isn't a time to be shy. You're supposed to know these questions, even if you haven't heard them yet or you haven't seen them yet. You're supposed to have the answer right up front. Neil from Connecticut, you're the brave soul who will start us off today. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. The President, Joe Biden, and the Vice President, Kamala Harris, are they really a team?
Well, I have to say yes and no, but I'll look for the no first. They're not a team because even though I don't really stay abreast of the news directly, I don't read the Times or the Washington Post, but it seems that they've been that the vice president has been offshored. She seems to be traveling a lot abroad, and I don't know what the reason for that is, but I'll just suggest that they don't seem to be quite in tandem as far as their activities and press conferences and things. They seem to be operating as separate entities. Though it's obvious, you know, they're elected.
What happened as a result of this, in your view? If you say you notice that they do not seem to be operating in tandem. First of all, what are you suggesting?
They're supposed to be in tandem. That's the idea, but they seem to be acting in different theaters. And is that to keep Kamala out of the domestic scene? I don't know.
Okay. What could be the result of this lack of coordination, or presumed coordination?
Well, the obvious thing would be disorganization, lack of effectiveness, not presenting a united front. Maybe they're preparing, I don't know who they is, but maybe the system is preparing the country for a separation, something a little more permanent.
Whose separation?
Between the president and the vice president, or I would say between the president and his office, meaning for one reason or another, either one of these people could be shunted off to the side. I really can't read the minds of the power players.
Nobody could read anybody else's mind, but you should be by now. You should have observed something peculiar about this relationship between Biden and Harris.
We can surmise that there are political groups that are interested in undermining the power of one office or the other, or both.
All right, you got us started. Thank you very much for your call today. We move on. 888-874-4888. Let's see who we have next. Okay. I have to get better at this. I'm managing several different screens here, and I'm not that talented.
Russell from White
Plains. I could do one at a time, sure. Managing a whole bunch at the same time, not so much. Okay. 888-874-4888. Let me ask, who's up next? Let's see.
Russell from White Plains.
Russell from White Plains, you're next. Let me ask you the same question.
Oh, the same question? I thought I'd get a fresh one.
Okay. You want a fresh question?
Well, I'll take a fresh question. It's sort of unfair for me to have a head start on the question. But
all right. Okay. All right.
Okay,
you make your case. So I'll ask you a fresh question then.
Okay.
Here's a fresh question.
Okay.
If I could only manage my pages.
Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'll wait for you, your trees, whatever.
Well, thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
Good to know.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So, here's a question. Are you encouraged or are you worried about the state of the economy?
Wow. I should have stuck with the first one. Okay. Am I worried about the state of the economy is the question.
It's yes. Good to are you encouraged? It. Or are you worried about it?
I'm not worried about this economy. I hate this. I'm a worried, but I'm not worried. Just like that guy, I'm taking both sides of the question, right? The United States will always come out ahead. All we have to do is stop the military-industrial complex, and we'll have plenty of money. So I'm not worried about the economy at all. I'm worried about the culture. We're destroying ourselves from within. But is it all right to ask you a question, Utrice?
I'm the asker, but I don't mind being asked.
That's why I'm asking. I just want to ask you, do you think, now that we ended 20 years of this collective hysteria in Afghanistan, this revenge trip that we've been on because of the 9/11 situation, this collective hysteria that resulted in a war on terror, do you think we just now are entering another 20-year collective hysteria with the war on a virus? Are we going to spend 20 years fighting a virus with boosters and vaccines and everybody scrubbing their hands? Do you think we're going to do that?
Well, that depends on what the people insist on. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, you know, in this whole equation, we haven't talked about the people making a difference in the outcome of things. They're just going along. They're inert. They're not mobilized. So we don't know what the outcome might be if people actually mobilized and said something and meant it and mobilized around it. But people are just, they're just looking on. They're studying things, not necessarily doing much to affect an outcome one way or the other, it seems to me. So as long as the people remain semi-dormant or just making noise but don't really mean much, they're not organizing around a specific agenda, and they're not mobilizing to get that agenda enacted, we're stuck. We will simply have to observe the reaction to the non-action of the people. Was that a fair answer? Okay. Not really, huh? Okay, well, Ed, you're there, so you might as well take the question. Okay. Let me get my question for you. Since the presidency of Donald Trump, are you more hopeful or less hopeful about America, and why? Whichever way you respond.
Well, I think you know me by now. I'm not too hopeful about America. The Trump presidency just basically showed what America is about. The true, quote, unquote, ugly American. What drives the large majority of the American people. What he appealed to and how he got his base. And how he got his, how his election was successful. So no, I don't have too much hope for America's future. I think that capitalism is in decline. America is married to capitalism. It's married to racism. It's married to sexism. It's married to a lot of isms. And until those maladies are fleshed out, pulled out, and removed from society, I don't think America will be moving forward. I think America is in decline. I think we're looking at the fall of an empire.
Have these maladies, as you call them, continued under Biden?
Yes, they have. I mean, you can just look at the abortion law in Texas. They're trying to undercut Roe v. Wade. And Biden is not strong. Like I said, the Biden campaign, the Biden presidency wasn't a positive response. It was the evil of two lessers. It was a reaction. It wasn't a motivator. It was a reaction. We had a despot and a lunatic running the country, and people reacted with the only choice they were left with in the plausibility of elections. But he wasn't a positive rallying cry. He was, as I said, the evil of two lessons.
Do you expect any dramatic change under Biden than different from what we experienced from Trump?
It's a kind of gentler screwing over, but it's still a screwing over. I mean, you know, look, all I can go by is what he has done, what he promised, the fight for 15, the green presidency, you know, the equal rights for everyone. He hasn't fulfilled on any of them, and there hasn't been a fight with him or with the Democratic Party on the whole. There have been gestures as far as sleeping out on the steps and making Twitter feeds and so on and so forth, but they didn't hold back the vote. They can't get rid of the filibuster. They gave up the fight for 15. We're still in the middle of whatever you want to call it, pandemic, and we still don't even have anybody making any move towards national health care or free health care. I mean, these were the things that he was kind of elected on to make things better on his platform. And as soon as he got in, he resigned. There wasn't any fight for anything other than gestural.
Well, so far, why do I feel uncheered up? I'm not cheered up yet by anybody's answers. Okay. But thank you. I think you're on the money right there. Thank you so much. All right. So who's next? Henry from Chicago. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Trees. How's it going?
Okay, I think. So here's your question.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree that the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan was and continues to be a national and international embarrassment? What do you think its long-term effects will be?
I agree that it is a national embarrassment because, for one, the United States was in there too long, and no telling what the effects of what the occupation of Afghanistan has done, but at the same time, being there for 20-something years, it has also destabilized that region, because now you have an entity in there that has been fighting other states for control of that particular area, and basically have caused a lot of issues and basic interests that, you know, that right now is to the point of warfare, you know, between these groups. So now you have the Taliban and this also affects Israel too, in regards to, you know, their control over the region. So yes, this is a very much a national and international embarrassment.
What do you think the long-term effects might be?
Well, I think the long-term effects is going to be less peace in the area. I think oil prices is going to fluctuate northward because of the fact that you're going to see many people trying to take control of Afghanistan now that the United States has withdrawn from it, and you're going to see, like I said, many entities within that region trying to not only try to overtake the Taliban, because also too we have to understand that the Taliban within itself has internal conflicts. So, so when you're talking about, you know, the conflicts, this is not just the Taliban itself. It's, you know, within the Taliban with the other groups that share the same political ideology as the Taliban. And basically what you're going to see is more conflict, more war over resources within that region.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough answer. Thank you. Michelle,
thank you.
From New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Just celebrating, coming off of my birthday weekend.
Good for you. Good for you. May the feeling linger as long as you want it to. Thank you for that. All right. Are you encouraged or worried about the state of the economy and why?
Well, I'd like to say I'm both encouraged and worried. And if I could offer you, Trees, I'd love a segment where we get to ask you a question, like one day devoted to the audience being able to ask, pick your brain a little bit.
If I still have a brain, you're welcome to pick it.
Yeah, I think I'm both. I'm worried and encouraged for different reasons. I'm worried from the sense that us, America appointing itself the world police and just funneling tons of our tax dollars into that effort and lives of American citizens. If you haven't personally been impacted as a veteran or a member of the military, you know someone who has, right? So it's so close to home. It seems like it's more than time for us to pull back on that effort and focus on our domestic economy and improving that with all the issues that we know we have, from education to homelessness to housing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's my concern.
Understanding how the world works, and especially how superpowers function in this world, are you being realistic about what you're encouraged about and what you are not encouraged about?
I think we're past that point of realism in terms of this outlook that we've had for generations of assuming this position as a superpower, because nothing lasts forever, as we know, and we see China slowly emerging on all fronts, economic, militarily, et cetera, as the next superpower. So I think we'll have no choice but to concede. Will we go so willingly, or, you know, are we going to at all costs, you know, sacrificing our citizens, you know, continuing to sacrifice our own domestic economy towards this end? So I think it's a moral question that's facing America around our economy. We can't serve two masters, and we're going to have to make a choice.
Okay. Well, so far you're still alive. You're doing well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks so much for contributing and for your bravery. Not everybody could do what you just did, which is, to be out front with everybody. You know, it's a chance that one takes, and I recognize that. And I congratulate you for being kind enough and generous enough to share your thoughts. That's really, really very good to do. Thank you.
Well, no
Brother
risk,
David
no
from
reward,
Brooklyn,
right?
You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrecht. I'm ready.
Hello. You ready?
Oh, my.
I got to search for a particular kind of question because you're a tough customer. So I have to choose my question to you very carefully. What major challenges lie ahead for the United States, and how do we prepare?
Well, the major challenge that I see is the challenge of getting the people in the United States, that's the masses of people, to understand that they don't live in a real democracy. They live in a plutocracy, and they live in a plutocracy, and that means the whole place is controlled by the rich and powerful. And people don't get it. They don't understand that this is the case because they worked out a system, the ruling class, from the beginning of certain ways of running the place to give the people, as it is right today, the illusion that things are run in their interests. But the truth be told is that if you look at the economy, the greatest benefit goes to those at the top, the ruling class and the professional class at the top and whatnot, and not to the people. So that is the situation that we have. And most people do not understand this, and they go along with the imperialism that the United States expresses all over the world, meddling in other countries and exploiting them, and getting involved in these regional wars. And these regional wars usually come out on the bad side for the United States, like Afghanistan and Vietnam and so forth. But they come on out on the good side for the ruling class that makes tremendous profit from warfare. And so people have to understand that the only way this is ever, ever, ever going to change is that until the people get out into the streets and rebel. And I'm not talking about going out with arms and so forth. People have to get out and take charge. They have to rebel. They can't depend on those slugs that sit in the Congress. These people who got good benefits and have the bribes called campaign contributions, and think that these people represent your interests. They represent the interests of the ruling class now, and that's the way it has been. Only time you're going to get some little benefit is when they do one thing, which I've talked about time and time again, when they need to throw out a bone to quiet down the people. So if people want to be in the same situation where a small ruling class rules the country as it does right now, just keep doing the same thing, hoping that the economy will improve for the people, and it's never going to improve for the people as long as the ruling class are still the ruling class and the people are still pawns that are used by those in power.
Okay. Well, thank you. That was a good answer. Thanks so very much. 888-874-4888 is the number to call to tackle a question the best you can and give us some inkling as to what your thoughts are around that question. All right, so who's up next? Let's see. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. Give me the question again. I mean, I just want to know one more time.
No, I have to ask you a new question. So,
oh, okay, I get a new question. Okay, go ahead.
That question ran its course. Now we have to start with a new question, and here it is.
Okay.
As the COVID and vaccine wars continue to rage, are you any clearer about where you stand?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been clear about where I've stood the whole time. And that is that I don't want to take the vaccine. I have heard so much about it that it does not make me feel safe. On the other hand, I want to also say that my very, very best friend just got COVID, and I'm very concerned about him because the things that could cure him or at least make him significantly better, we can't get. We can't get ivermectin right now. There's been a mandate from the government that no one is allowed to prescribe this. And so here we are with, we've got things that do help quite a bit. Sometimes they cure. And we have no way of getting them because our government is more invested in breaking our arms to do what they want rather than allow us to, you know, heal using alternative methods, which are also, you know, these are medicines. This is not, ivermectin is a medicine. It's not an herb. It's something that, you know, regular doctors pass out. So I've got, you know, I've got a lot of things on my mind when it comes to that. I'm very concerned about my friend. I'm crazy about this guy. And I really wouldn't want anything to happen to him. And we both wear our masks. And we know that when you get to, you know, protest sometimes, and people should always be very careful because you never know who else is in the protest and what point they're trying to make. So thank you. So, that's where I stand right now. I'm still clear about where I want to be. And I know that pretty much that? Met.
You haven't said.
Well, I don't want to take that vaccine, no matter what. I don't want that poison in my veins. I don't care what they say, because I honestly believe that you're not going to see it now. You're probably going to see it 3 to 5 years from now. And you're going to, and a lot of people are going to either get very sick or die from it. So, I'm sorry, I am not a person who says, let's go ahead and trust the government. I mean, I think somebody brought this up today on WBAI, which, Amy Goodman was plowing on this morning about 9/11. Well, that was all great. She was right. The CDC, Chrissy Todd Whitman, they all lied to us about what was in the air down there. It was clear to me what was in the air, so I didn't go downtown. I didn't need a test for me to tell me that the air downtown was very bad, but it happened to be very bad, and the government lied over and over again, and they did that in order to protect the business of Wall Street. So what do you think they're going to do now? We've had these huge storms all over the Northeast. Really serious global warming coming in. And there is a population who are the oligarchs who happen to think the best route in solving global warming without destroying their way of life is to get rid of 15% of the population of the planet. That's what they see as the answer. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I think that that's, I don't want them choosing whether I live or die. So for me, that's my choice. And what I don't like to hear, and I think it's very dangerous, I heard a woman on WBAI this morning, Margaret Flowers, I think her name is, and she said that she thought that anyone that would enter into a nursing home who was unvaccinated should be arrested. And I'm listening to people. And then she went on the other hand to start talking about how outrageous it was that they banned abortion in Texas. Well, I think it was outrageous to ban abortion in Texas. But I also think it's outrageous.
But you're not answering the question.
Well, the question is, for me, no vaccine. At least up to this point, no vaccine. I don't think I'm going to take it either way. Clarity, there is no real clarity on whether it's safe or not. It's to me, there's no clarity on whether it's safe or not. To me, I just feel with my gut feeling is telling me that it probably is not safe down the road. Okay. Not, you know, and not up in front. And by the way, there's going to be plenty of people that get the vaccine and nothing happens, but there will probably be plenty of people to take the vaccine. I mean, let me tell you something. My friend has COVID, but so did my niece who had the vaccine. And so did her baby also get COVID, who's only 15 months old. So, I mean, what's the right thing to do? Everybody's getting it, whether you've had the shot or whether you haven't had the shot. And my niece was very sick. I mean, she wasn't like, you know, I have a little, you know, cold here. She was very sick. So I don't know. I mean, for my money, I'm saying that, you know, if I can still get pretty sick and I'm going to take that vaccine and then somewhere down the road, something could happen to my immune system and cause me autoimmune diseases. This is what I'm afraid of, autoimmune diseases down the road. I don't want to take that risk. I want to try to maintain my good health and use the protocols that are suggested on Gary Knoll and keep educating myself and listening to as much as I possibly can. There's very little information out there other than the propaganda all the time about taking this vaccine. But I want to try to get as much information as possible and keep a level head. I mean, understand that a lot of people are, you know, they're talking about their civil rights and all this stuff. But I think that we do have a disease. You do have to put your mask on. You do have to be super careful. And you do have to take precautions. It's real. It is out there. So that's my feeling.
Okay. So in one sentence, are you clearer about where you stand?
One word? No.
You're not.
I'm as clear as I was when it all started. So nothing's changed for me. I'm at the same place.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair and straightforward. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's see if we get another victim. Is anyone there at 888-874-4888? We're closing in on the end of the program. But I like the way this is going because this is something that needs to happen more often to keep you in check of where you are vis-a-vis issues in the news. People may have a fleeting idea of where they stand on things, except when you ask them, they go, oh, gee, I didn't think about this. Oh, I have to have an opinion about this. It's important every now and then to check and recalibrate yourself to see where you stand. And if you can live with the change, if there is a change, or if there is no change, if you feel even more convinced about where you stood before you answered the question. All right, who is next? Let's see. I really have to do better at handling this computer type stuff. I really have to do better at it because I am like all thumbs here, just trying to juggle these pages. 888-874-4888. Could you tell me who's next, studio? Patricia from New York is up. Hello, Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. Good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope all is well.
Thank you. You must be laughing that I am having a serious problem here with juggling these many pages on one screen. Okay, so let me get you your question right away, because I'm sure you will have a comprehensive answer for us.
I hope.
What major challenges do you believe lie ahead for the United States, and how do we prepare?
The United States has, I believe, three major challenges. The first one is going to involve China and the technological fight that the United States is going to be embarking, has already been embarked, and it's around AI, artificial intelligence, a lot of which has to do with the military, and a lot of which has to do with the artificial intelligence and technology in the future. China is really our biggest competitor, not just economically, but technologically. And I think China is going to be, you know, China is going to be the number one area of fight for the United States. After China is Russia. Russia, not so much technology, but in terms of all of the hacking that has occurred in this country against corporations, that has to be addressed, because otherwise when I say we, I'm talking about the United States now, is going, every industry, every corporation will be at the mercy of Russian hackers. And then I think the third area will be climate. We have to address the use of fossil fuels in terms of its contribution to climate change. I mean, just last week, no one in their right mind can deny climate change. No one. You've got fires burning out the western part of the country. You've got hurricanes flooding and destroying the eastern and southern part of the country. There's going to be nothing left for the, you know, for this country without addressing climate change. So I think those are the three issues: China, artificial intelligence and technology, Russia hacking, and three, climate.
Okay. Now that's an answer. I like that. I ask a question, you give me an answer, and you lay out your reasoning. That's excellent. Thank you so much. We still have time for a couple more questions if you call in at 888-874-4888. Do I have a name I could call?
Robert from Manhattan.
Robert from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, Robert. You're on the air.
Well, I'm enjoying your program very much. There are a lot of...
Well, me too. Me too.
And,
so let me find a very difficult question. I'm going back to this question because I don't think we got too far with it. The President Joe Biden and the Vice President Kamala Harris, are they really a team?
My answer is no. I think that the choice of Harris for vice president was euphemistically a marriage of convenience. And I think that they're still estranged because the attack that Kamala Harris did on Joe Biden, exposing him as a racist during the debates, I think that is still sitting very heavily on not just Joe Biden, but Jill Biden. When she came out with this story about her being a little girl on the truck and the busing, and that his policies had been racist, which I agree. It was Joe Biden who came up with the term super predator for young black men. He and Clinton pushed those laws, the minimum sentencing laws, and everyone's forgetting all of that. And so, no, I don't think that they are a team. I think that he used her to get the black vote, and he succeeded. And Kamala Harris is really not a black person. You know, she is Indian and Jamaican, and her ancestry also involves slaveholders. So the mass media has hidden a lot of stuff in the background of both of them. And they don't like
it. Are you being a purist here instead of being practical about politics?
Yes.
I'm curious. No hesitation.
I'm telling you what I heard, what I saw, what I remember, and I've been involved in presidential politics since 1956 when Eisenhower ran against Adlai Stevenson, and I didn't like either one because both of them were bald. That's how about an 8-year-old boy would look at things then. But I campaigned for Kennedy in the 1960 election. I always supported Kennedy, Martin Luther King. And if I were to give you my name, everyone would know that I'm one of the world's experts on assassinations. I want to say one thing on this, on Robert Kennedy's death. They have just released Sirhan Sirhan. And everybody's up in arms, oh, you released the assassin. No, this is justice being done. Sirhan Sirhan did not kill Robert Kennedy. Robert Kennedy was killed by a security guard that was holding his arm at the right side. His name was Thane Caesar. And he has put the gun to the back of Robert Kennedy's head that left powder burns behind his ears. Sirhan Sirhan was never closer than 8 feet away, and they jumped on him right away. So I disagree with the mass media and the general public. Sirhan Sirhan was like another Lee Harvey Oswald.
Don't veer off. I'm still doing my program.
Okay,
so let's come back to it.
Okay.
If Kamala Harris and Joe Biden aren't really the genuine article, what should happen before long?
Oh, I think there's going to be a change, and someone was talking about the powers behind them, the people who are pulling the strings, and I still think that that's Barack Obama, Susan Harris. When Biden says, I don't want to talk about that because they'll get mad at me or they'll yell at me, you got to, what? What are you talking about? You're the president of the United States. What are you talking about? Somebody's going to yell at you for what you say. Obviously, he's a controlled candidate. And another question you asked about Afghanistan. Joe Biden just gave Afghanistan to China on a plate. And that's why I don't call him Joe Biden. I call him Joe Biden, because he is the Manchurian candidate. Everything he's doing favors China. And China has already moved into Afghanistan. Yesterday, the Taliban announced that China is their closest ally and that China is going to be opening the copper mines in Afghanistan. So I think the American people really have to see what's really going on and stop watching CNN. They ought to listen
and
to
you. And with regard to Kamala Harris,
pardon?
What now should be her role? I mean, if it is eroded to the point where she cannot be effective or she is not doing pivotal work, what should happen now, you think?
I'm going to be very honest with you. Something is going to change. Biden is being portrayed as the incompetent that he is, but he is acting as an agent for the New World Order. He's working toward turning the United States over to the United Nations, seizing guns, restricting our rights, and something's got to change. But I don't think that it's going to change to make Kamala Harris president. So just in 1974, when they wanted to get rid of Nixon, they had to get rid of Spiro Agnew first. So they got rid of Spiro Agnew so they could install a puppet, Gerald Ford, before they could get rid of Nixon. So, as I said, I've studied politics a very long time, and I expect something like that's going to happen.
When will we know? I mean, of course, when it happens, but what signs
would we
be looking for?
I'll tell you when you know. You will know when the mass media, when you start hearing CNN, MSNBC, and Madhouse saying bad things about Kamala Harris. Like, she's not doing her job, she's not up to it. When they start doing that, and Kamala Harris is the target, that will be the signal. And they're going to keep Joe Biden, and a lot of people believe that there's a Joe Biden double, you know? That sometimes he's the bumbling idiot, and then he's the angry old man. And his hairline changes, his tone changes, so when you see the mass media attacking Kamala Harris, rest assured that the change is going to come. And they'll get rid of her first, and then they'll get rid of Joe Biden.
Okay. We're on the lookout. Thank you so much for calling and contributing today. That brings us to the end of our program. I enjoyed listening to the answers. This is not a situation where we put you to the test. We just try to find out what you're thinking and whether it sounds plausible or it doesn't sound plausible, whether it sounds like you have a handle on things because you're following the news or whether you're completely new to what is happening. And so we need to, you know, keep you at arm's length because you have some more research and so forth to do to form an opinion. But this is really what I hope to do a little bit more often. Somebody had asked, well, when do we get to ask you questions? I'll arrange that because, I mean, fair is fair. I could be asked questions. I'll gladly answer them. I thank you for being good sports today and giving this a good try. It will get much, much better. Thanks. We'll see each other again tomorrow. Bye-bye.